Chapter 8. And Daisus be showing like stars on the ground, till she form part of them, made a sweetheart of them, loved beyond measure with a child's pleasure all her life's round. January 31, 1913. I found her out there, on a slope you see, that falls westwardly to the salt-edged air, where the ocean breaks on the purple strand, and the hurricane shakes the solid land. I brought her here, and have laid her to rest in a noiseless nest no sea beats near. She will never be stirred in her loamy cell by the waves long heard and loved so well. So she does not sleep by those haunted heights the Atlantic smites, and the blind gales sweep, whence she often would gaze at Dundagel's far head, while the dipping blaze dyed her face fire red, and would sigh at the tail of sunk lioness, as a wind-tugged tress flapped her cheek like a flail, or listen at whiles with a thought-bound brow to the murmuring miles she is far from now. Yet her shade, maybe, will creep underground till it catch the sound of that western sea as it swells and sobs where she once domiciled, and joy in its throbs with the heart of a child. Without ceremony, it was your way, my dear, to be gone without a word when callers, friends, or kin had left, and I hastened in to rejoin you, as I inferred. And when you'd a mind to career off anywhere, say to town, you were all on a sudden gone, before I had thought thereon, or noticed your trunks were down. So, now that you disappear forever in that swift style, your meaning seems to me just as it used to be. Goodbye is not worthwhile. Lament, how she would have loved a party today. Bright hatted and gloved, with table and tray and chairs on the lawn, her smiles would have shone with welcomings. But she is shut from friendship's spell in the jailing shell of her tiny cell. Or she would have reigned at a dinner tonight with ardors unfeigned, and a generous delight, all in her abode she'd have freely bestowed on her guests. But alas, she is shut under grass where no cups flow, powerless to know that it might be so. And she would have sought with a child's eager glance the shy snowdrops brought by the New Year's advance, and peered in the rhyme of Candlemas time for crocuses. Chanced it, that she were not tranced from sights she loved best, wholly possessed by an infinite rest. And we are here staying amid these stale things who care not for gaying, and those junketings, that used so to joy her, and never to cloy her as us they cloy. But she is shut from the cheer of them, dead to all, done and said in a new arched bed. The haunter, he does not think, that I haunt here nightly. How shall I let him know that, whither his fancy sets him wandering, I too, alertly go? Hover and hover a few feet from him just as I used to do, but cannot answer his words addressed me, only listen thereto. When I could answer he did not say them. When I could let him know how I would like to join in his journey, seldom he wished to go. Now that he goes and wants me with him more than he used to do, never he sees my faithful phantom, though he speaks thereto. Yes, I accompany him to places only dreamers know, where the shy hare's limp long paces, where the night rooks go, into old aisles where the past is all to him, close as his shade can do, always lacking the power to call to him, near as I reach thereto. What a good haunter I am, oh tell him, quickly make him know, if he but sigh since my loss befell him, straight to his side I go. Tell him a faithful one is doing all that love can do still, that his path may be worth pursuing, and to bring peace thereto. The voice, woman much missed, how you call to me, saying that now you are not as you were when you had changed from the one who was all to me, but as at first, when our day was fair. Can it be you that I hear? Let me view you, then, standing as when I drew near to the town, where you would wait for me. Yes, as I knew you then, even to the original air blue gown. Or is it only the breeze, in its listlessness traveling across the wet mead to me here, you being ever consigned to existlessness, heard no more again far or near? Thus I, faltering forward, leaves around me falling, wind oozing thin through the thorn from norward and the woman calling. December 1912. His visitor, I come across from Mellstock, while the moon wastes weaker to behold where I lived with you for 20 years and more. I shall go in the gray, at the passing of the mail train, and need no setting open of the long familiar door as before. The change I notice in my once own quarters. A brilliant budded border, where the daisies used to be, the rooms new painted, and the pictures altered, and other cups and saucers, and no cozy nook for tea as with me. I discern the dim faces of the sleep-wrapped servants. They are not those who tended me through feeble hours and strong, but strangers quite, who never knew my rule here, who never saw me painting, never heard my softling song float along. So I don't want to linger in this redecked dwelling, I feel too uneasy at the contrasts I behold, and I make again for Millstock to return here never, and rejoin the roomy silence, and the mute and manifold souls of old. 1913. A circular, a schedule representative I read a missive not my own, on new designs the senders give for clothes, in tints as shown. Here figure blouses, gowns for tea, and presentation trains of state, charming ball dresses, millinery, warranted up to date. And this gay pictured, springtime shout of fashion, hails what lady proud? Her who before last year was out was costumed in a shroud. A dreamer no. Why go to St. Juliet? What's Juliet to me? I was but made fancy by some necromancy, that much of my life, claims the spot as its key. Yes, I have had dreams of that place in the west, and a maiden abiding thereat as in hiding, fair-eyed and white-shouldered, broad-browed and brown-tressed. And of how, coastward bound on a night long ago, there lonely I found her, the seabirds around her, and other than nigh things uncaring to know. So sweeter life there in my thought as it seemed, that quickly she drew me to take her unto me, and lodge her long years with me. Such have I dreamed. But not of that maid from St. Juliet I see, can she ever have been here, and shed her life's sheen here, the woman I thought a long housemate with me? Does there even a place like St. Juliet exist? Or a Valency valley with stream and leafed alley, or beany, or bows with its flounce flinging mist? February 1913. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.